You see fun, everybody. See fun. Welcome to Seattle Hemp Fest. How are y'all feeling? What a perfect day, huh? Hey, you know what I like best about this moment right now is that I got weed in my pocket. Pre-rolled Cavi Gold cones, by the way. And ain't nobody can do a damn thing about it. It's legal for me to have weed in my pocket. Now, that seems like a simple thing, and I know a lot of people get up and talk about, well, we can't grow yet. Yeah, I know. Oh, it's overtaxed. Yeah, I know. But I got weed in my pocket. Ain't nobody can do a damn thing about it. Now, this suddenly became special to me. How many people out there have been hassled by cops or arrested or detained over marijuana? Yeah. I never had. I'm originally from Boise, Idaho. And I've been smoking weed since July 4th, 1990. And I never once, not once in 22 years of smoking weed, had a hassle with the man. Now, a large part of that is because, as comedian Paul Mooney says, I have the complexion of protection. I chose at a very young age to be white, so that really helped a lot. I don't know if you've seen what's been going down in Ferguson, Missouri, but that's just a small glimpse of what's going on in this country. When everybody's upset about these armored carriers and cops in shields and throwing in tear gas grenades in Ferguson on the news, everyone's shocked. Those of us been fighting the drug war are like, oh, look, the toys they've been buying from the drug war that they've been using on our no-knock raids to bust people that are growing plants. Looks familiar to all of us. I digress. So I'd gone 20-plus years, never had a problem with the man until this 420, when I was invited to present at the Cannabis Cup in Denver for 420, we decided to take a road trip from Portland, Oregon to Denver, Colorado. Now, I know about public school and geography, but if you can imagine a little map and you can draw a line that goes from Portland, Oregon to Denver, Colorado, there's a couple of states you go through, either Idaho and Utah or Idaho and Wyoming. Now, I'm originally from Boise, Idaho, so I'm like, hey, let's go through Idaho. We'll visit my folks. Hi, Mom and Dad. Be cool. And then my roommate, he got a kid in western Colorado, so going through Utah and hitting there would be good. So you can see his new, brand new grandchild he'd never seen before in his life. So we decided to take a road trip because, you know, we're Americans. And we take road trips. It's what we do. We don't have to show our papers. We don't have to have permits. We're free to travel. Now, my roommate, a medical marijuana patient, he's a 69-year-old Vietnam vet. And my assistant at the time was a medical marijuana patient, young man who has got a lot of pain issues, a lot of back problems and such. So we headed out on our road trip knowing, yes, we have some medicine on us going through Idaho and Utah. Now, that is not a wise thing. But again, I've never been busted before in my life. I've always kind of skated through. I thought, no problem. We'll just make our little road trip. We'll be low profile. Now, the problem is, I can be kind of low profile because, let's face it, I kind of look like a cop. And Larry, he's a 69-year-old Vietnam vet. No one's going to give him problems. He's got silver hair. He's cool. My assistant at the time, however, young Rastafarian gentleman, white with long redhead dreadlocks all the way down to his calf. So we're like, you stay in the car. Okay, when we're in Utah or in Idaho, you stay in the car. We'll go into the convenience store. We'll take care of whatever you want. You stay in the car. So we're driving down, getting down through Idaho, making it just fine. And we get toward the Utah border. And I see these signs along the side of the road that say, drug checkpoint ahead. County sheriff's drug dogs in service. Drug checkpoint ahead. Now, I'm informed, I know that this is a trick. Constitutionally, there's no such thing as a drug checkpoint. What there is such a thing as is putting up a drug checkpoint sign and then watching the people who get off on the exit before it and then messing with them, right? Because the drug checkpoint's unconstitutional. They can't stop you to check for drugs. Some states can do it for DUIs, for alcohol, but they can't do it for drugs. So this is a well-known cop trick to get you to pull off or to pull aside the road and stash stuff on the side of the road and they're watching and then they bust you, right? So I'm like, dude, we're gonna keep driving. Keep driving, keep driving. So we got out of Idaho, got into Utah, got into the first little truck stop there in Utah. Me and Larry, we get out, me and the Vietnam vet roommate get out, go into the convenience store. Coming out of the convenience store, I noticed that my assistant had then gone out into the convenience store. And that's when I also noticed there were two cop cars there getting gas, and an unmarked one sitting over there. Oh, this isn't going to be good. So, we all get back in the car, like, everybody be cool. Larry starts driving off. We're in a Cadillac, right? We're in a pretty low-key car, but it's got Oregon plates on it. We're in Utah. We start to drive off. We're not 4 miles down the road when the sheriff SUV with canine on the back of it is pulling us over. Pulls us over, and the long story short of this is that I sat there on the side of the road in the dirt 50 yards away from the car while I watched cops pull everything out of the trunk, pull out all our bags out of the trunk, search through all the fine things, put them in vials, put them in front of the dash car camera, and then come back and put me and my assistant in cuffs. You're under arrest for the possession of marijuana and paraphernalia. The same kind of marijuana that I've got legally in my pocket right here. From there, it was a drive, about a 45-minute drive in handcuffs to the Brigham City Jail, which, by the way, I was arrested in the most northern part of this county, which is the largest county in Utah, and the county seat is in the most southern part. So I literally took the longest ride in a cop car you can take in Utah. Got to the jail, got processed, they put us through the jail, got to watch TV, Death Race 2000 was on. That's kind of cool, watching a movie about trying to escape in a prison and shooting up cops while you're in jail. Something weirdly ironic about that. And then we had the processing. I have to ask y'all the typical questions. Sir, do you have any known enemies in the state of Utah? Present company excluded. Sir, your sexual preference? Anywhere but here would be fine. Jokes didn't go over well with them either. We were pulled over at 10:30 in the morning. It took $5,000 to get bailed out of jail for me and the assistant. And then by 6 o'clock at night, we were on our way. So for less than what I have in my pocket right now that's perfectly legal, my freedom was taken by guys with guns who put me in a concrete and plexiglass room because I had weed on me. So it means something different now when I come to Seattle Hemp Fest and you and you and you and you and me and all of us walking this park can have weed in our pocket and not be put in a cage over it. Because that's what this is about. It's about freedom. I'm all for the medical marijuana patients. I'm all for the medical marijuana patients. I'm all for the industrial hemp. I'm all for the recreational use. I think all use is none ya. None ya damn business. My body, my choice. If a woman has the right to choose what she does with her uterus, I have the right to choose what I do with my lungs. My body, my choice. Are you with me on that? It's our choice. Now, we still have a whole lot to do, and I feel more engaged than ever in doing it after having been in jail. And I calculated while I was in jail, I started thinking, well, how many cop cars showed up? By the time they finally let us away in cuffs, there were 5 cop cars there and 9 cops. And then by the time we got to the jail and did all the processing, there were 3 cops there that had to take care of all the processing. And I did the math in my head, carry the 1, carry the 2, the 3. That's 28.5 hours of police time. 28.5, more than a full day worth of police man hours to pull us off the freeway to bring us in for a little less weed than I got in my pocket right here, legally. To pull us over, put us in a cage, and deal with all of that. Then, for about the next 2.5 months, I sat and wait for these charges. When the charges going to be filed? I'm going to have to go to Utah. I have to hire a lawyer. I got to pay this lawyer. I got to get the money to the lawyer. Call a lawyer. Hey, has anything been filed? We haven't heard anything yet. Haven't put forth the charges. Haven't seen anything from evidence. Haven't seen from the dash cam. And I'm freaking out. Oh, my God, I'm going to have a criminal record. And then 2.5 months later, got a letter. Charges dismissed. So all of that hassle, all of that time, all of that police effort that was put into dealing with that for nothing, absolutely nothing. In my home state of Oregon, we had a terrible story that went down last year in Southern Oregon where late at night, a woman calls 911 to report that her abusive ex-boyfriend, is trying to break into the trailer. And we had to hear these 911 calls in our local news. 911, what's your emergency? Oh, my ex-boyfriend's trying to break in the trailer. He's pounding on the doors. I've got him locked out. We have a court order against him. What should I do? And the 911 operator had to say, sorry, we don't have anyone to send to you. There were budget cuts, you see, and they didn't have enough officers to staff, you know, 24 hours. And the 911 operator said, well, if he comes in, could you ask him to go away? Well, he came in, and he beat her, and he raped her, and he left. But Utah had 28 and a half hours worth of police time available and ready to go to take me and a dreadlock Rastafarian into jail for charges that eventually got dropped. Do you think that's right? Hell no, it's not right. So this is about freedom. Don't forget about that. And don't take the freedom that you've gained lightly. I know it's not enough. I know we've got to get home grow. I know we've got to get more expansive limits. And in Oregon, we're going to work on that. I'm a part of something called the International Cannabis Business Conference. It's taking place September 13th or 14th and 15th, just 3 weekends away at the Portland Convention Center, because folks, thank you for legalizing weed first, but Portland is going to be the place for legal weed, let me tell you. We are legalizing 1 ounce of marijuana, 4 plants at home, 8 ounces at home, 16 ounces of edibles, 72 ounces of tinctures, 1 ounce of store-bought concentrate. Double those amounts are decrim, just a ticket. And you have to have over 4 times those amounts before it's a felony. The initial legislative review office analysis on this has speculated that with our $35 an ounce flat tax, we're going to be selling weed at $140 an ounce. Who likes $140 an ounce weed? Yeah, I'm pro that. So congratulations for legalizing first, but honestly, $20 a gram, $25 a gram, that can't stand for very long, man. That's just intro. That's just first time, man. That's got to come down. And we in Oregon are going to pass Measure 91, legalize that, crash that price, raise that supply, and the legislators in Olympia are going to start hearing from these business owners in Vancouver down there in Clark County. They're going to say, hey, my pot shop's going under because down there in Portland, they're selling for $140 an ounce. And those legislators are going to listen to those business owners, and they're going to want to lower those taxes. They're going to want to make your system better to compete with Oregon's system. And the more states that legalize, the more competition there is, and the more we overgrow the government. Thank you. I'm Radical Russ Belbel, 420radio.org. Have a great Hemp Fest, folks. Thank you, Radical Russ. Radical Russ, we can always count on him.